There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, and coming to you here on a Friday, January 10th, 2025. Once again, as the baseball offseason plows on, we are just about a month. Two pitchers and catchers that give me Truck Day. I think we're actually right around the 1 month mark for Truck Day, and Truck Day, a tradition unlike any other. The Phillies will tweet out, 2,000 cups, 4,000, sunflower seeds, 30 bags of golf clubs, and one Fanatic hot dog launcher. And I look forward to Truck Day every year. It's a sign that spring is upon us. It is a sign that, warmer weather is upon us. Right now, it's just like cold and dreary out, and the sun's still setting at 4:30, and, it's 30 degrees, but that will be the sign that baseball, warmer weather, springtime life, if you will be back. So love Truck Day, love all the photos they'll tweet out from Truck Day. I live for Truck Day content. Not sure if other cities get the same kick out of Truck Day as we here in Philadelphia do, but love Truck Day. Anyway, wanted to get into the news of yesterday with the Phils. Total six players with the Phillies avoided salary arbitration. Now, the Phillies, a number of times in the past, some of which with these players in particular, have gone to arbitration hearings before. The Phillies agreed to contracts with Ranger Suarez, Alec Boehm, Jesus Luzardo, Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh, and Edmundo Sosa. Kind of go one by one here. I think the Phillies got relatively team-friendly deals, just about all of them. I thought it was a good day for the Phillies front office, the fact that they were able to avoid all of it. I spent the entire offseason discussing how this team really isn't, seemingly is not going to change anything up, and seemingly is not going to make these massive changes that I think a lot of people, I'll say, expected at the end of the last season. I don't think this is an instance where you're going to see massive moves made. I never thought that even after, the 2024 season. This is the third year in a row that they've lost in the playoffs. They lost in the World Series in 22. They lost in the NLCS in 23. They lost in the DS in 24. This is not the first time that we've seen this, but this was, I won't say the most disappointing, because they lost to Arizona, and I think that was worse, but this was probably, not probably, it was the biggest disparity between regular season to postseason. So having said all that, I always thought that the Phillies would bring back pretty much the same team, kind of wanted to go through each of these guys here one by one. So we'll start, kind of work backwards. So Edmundo Sosa, he's been, you know, really nice bench bat. Probably should get some more playing time with how just unreliable at the plate and defensively in one of these guys' cases they've been. Trey Turner really is unreliable on both sides of the, you know, of the diamond, especially defensively. I think Edmundo Sosa, it's a nice little safety net there. They get him for $3 million. He, you know, look at his numbers from last year. He goes 257 batting average, 313 on base, 422 slugging. So that's a 734 OPS for a guy who logged 249 at bats. And listen, you know, the numbers aren't going to wow you or anything like that, but you trust him to put together a solid at bat. He had 64 hits. You know what he can do with the glove. And $3 million feels like a relatively reasonable price for Edmundo Sosa. I think if I've learned one thing from especially the past couple of postseasons, and, you know, I already knew this, but, you know, just reminded of it, if you will, is that teams who win in October, like, they have deep benches. They're able to mix and match and platoon in certain spots and give it, you know, sit a guy down if he's not getting the job done. You know, Bohm got benched in the postseason this year, and they were able to go to Edmundo Sosa. If Trey Turner were to get hurt, they would have gone to Edmundo Sosa. They couldn't stick with Austin Hayes. So, you know, there have been a number of different cases where having, you know, guys on your bench who you can rely on aren't total just zeros, are, you know, quality guys to have in there. So I think that is really, really important to remember, acknowledge when you look at a contract like this. I don't know what Sosa would have gotten if they went to arbitration. I don't know if it's worth, you know, arguing $3 versus $3.5 million for a guy like that. I imagine he wasn't looking to go to it. I don't know what a guy like that would get on the open market, but $3 million seems relatively fair for 1 year. But yeah, so love Eddie Sosa, as they call him. I love that he'll be, you know, rejoining the Phils. Feels like a reasonable price, again, for a guy who, you know, it's not going to play every day, but you can, you know, mix and match him in whenever you feel like it. Next guy's Brandon Marsh, also $3 million. Now, this one's a little bit more concerning because he's going to get more starting time. You know, I know they signed Max Kepler. Castellanos isn't right, but Brandon Marsh is your most of the time center fielder for $3 million. Now, you could say that's a bargain, all things considered. His numbers at the plate, not necessarily stellar, I will say. Again, if you want to go back to last year, 135 games, 249 average, 328 on base, 419 slugging, so a 747 OPS, 104 hits in 418 at bats. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, I guess the numbers are in the same ballpark as Sosa. You're just asking more from Marsh. And then Marsh also obviously hits from the left-hand side of the box. So, you know, you don't really want that guy going against lefties. You don't really want Rojas hitting up against anybody, frankly. But when he's going up against a righty, the numbers get a little bit better. The defense is certainly good. It's not Rojas good, but it's good. $3 million, I wasn't like dying to have Brandon Marsh back, but it's probably about fair. It's fine. It's, you know, I'm just glad that these weren't taken. I don't know what these guys would have gotten in arbitration, but I'm kind of glad it wasn't taken out to that process, because then you end up, you know, paying more if it $3 million felt, it didn't feel like the Phillies would have saved that much money in this case. First of all, it's not my money. Second of all, I don't know how much money the Phillies would have really saved in this case. And if anything, they probably end up paying more guys like Sosa and Marsh. Now, we'll go to the next guy, Bryson Stott, who, again, is your everyday second baseman. And this is probably more concerning than either of the other two, that this is what you're kind of settling on as your everyday second baseman. So, Stott, you know, you pull up his numbers, goes 148 games, 245 average, 315 on base, 356 slugging. Stott is really a guy that disappointed me a ton. Like we could go through all the guys who disappointed the Phils last year and came up small. Bryson Stott might be, not that his expectations were huge. Well, Turner's the answer to who underperformed expectations the most, but Stott is up there too. Like he used to at least work a good at bat. He used to at least foul off pitches. He used to at least, you know, be a tough out. He doesn't do any of that anymore. He swings a lot early in counts. He gets, you know, tangled up on off speed on the inner half of the zone like every single time. Still good with the glove, but on, you know, on offense, 671 OPS. Not great for a guy who's starting every day. Now, again, they're not really paying for it, $3.2 million, but 671 OPS, and that's down from 747 the year before. You know, close to 100 strikeouts again. He and his walk total, it's just, you know, he used to, it was already a thing when he was fouling off a ton of pitches that he wouldn't walk enough. But now, especially, he's just swinging a lot earlier in count, and especially in the postseason. So that's really what kind of frustrates me when it comes to a guy like Bryson Stott is that it feels like he's already regressed in the early days of his career, if you will. It feels like he would have once been a leadoff candidate. Like for all the people who don't want Kyle Schwarber to lead off, it feels like Stott would have been the obvious candidate 365 days ago. Now, I don't know if there is a better candidate. Like, he might just be running the Schwarber thing back, which I know drives some people up a wall. I'm personally fine with it. I think this team is good when they have Kyle Schwarber leading off. But if you want to try and change it up, say, all right, 3 years of this is enough. You know, Stott, certainly not good enough to do it. Brett, you know, you would hope that your $300 million shortstop was good enough to do it. He's not. So that's really kind of where things stand with Bryson Stott. So anyway, to recap so far, Edmundo Sosa, $3 million, Marsh, $3 million, Bryson Stott, $3.2 million. And one more thing on Stott. This is a guy who had a lot of, say, expectations when he officially made it, you know, into the big leagues. He played in the Futures game, I remember, you know, once upon a time, and it was a prospect that was supposed to be fun. You know, he's a Vegas guy with Bryce Harper, and you know, we're gonna love him, and he's gonna be, you know, the next Utley, some call him. I mean, holy smokes, the next Utley just got $3.2 million in a contract to avoid salary arbitration in January. I think that's, you know, telling when were people's expectations, which were too high to begin with, but it's telling, you know, expectations versus reality, what the reality is with a guy like Bryson Stott. Next thing, next guy we'll go to here, Jesus Luzardo, who got hand up on this one. I actually didn't even realize he was, you know, up for arbitration here. He has been in the big leagues since 2019. So I guess he's got, 19, 21. Like last year was his sixth year in the majors, but he only pitched six games in 19. So I guess this is his sixth year of his rookie contract before this contract situation with him is weird because he pitched six games in 19, 12 games in 20. And I know he's got some club control down the line here, but Luzardo, he pitched to a 5 ERA last year. So his number came in at $6.225 million, so, you know, 6.25, just about. And listen, I think most Phillies fans were generally pretty excited that they got this guy. First of all, it showed that Dave Dombrowski was willing to move on from a guy like Starlin Cava. The prospect's officially not off the table, so to speak. And the fact that they were aggressive, able to go get Luzardo, who is a guy who, you know, up until last year was pretty good, like 22 and 23, pitched to an ERA in the threes. Last year had some injuries flare up. He pitched to a five, but if he resorts to, you know, half the guy he is, he's hell of a lot better than Taijuan Walker. You add him already into a rotation with Wheeler, with Nola, with Sanchez, with Ranger Suarez, and, you know, Jesus Luzardo is your four or five guy at six point, you know, whatever million a year. It's not bad. You know, nice little pitcher they got there, hoping that he really excited for Jesus Luzardo. Of all the guys people are excited for this season, the new guy, probably, you know, Max Kepler's not really moving the needle for most people. Really excited for Jesus Luzardo. He's a lefty, so kind of nice to have, you know, him and Suarez as lefties in that rotation. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch, certainly in the year 2025. I think he will be a more than welcomed addition into the staff. I think he will be more than, sorry, Christopher Sanchez also. Sanchez, Suarez, and Luzardo, I just realized. They got, you know, two righties in the top two in Wheeler and Nola, but Sanchez, Suarez, and Luzardo, you got three lefties, which will kind of be nice to, you know, you're going through the course of a series. This is the cat and mouse game that managers like Rob Thompson like to play. You got a weekend series with the Mets, you know, four games, Thursday through a righty, Friday lefty, Thursday, Saturday, you know, Saturday back to a righty, Sunday back to a lefty. You can kind of mix and match what kind of lineups you're going to see. It gives you a real advantage to try and win every series you play in, which certainly something the Phillies were good at for the most part in the year 2024. So that was the number on Luzardo, again, $6.225 million. So, you know, relatively happy with that. Again, I didn't even necessarily notice that they I didn't even think about the fact that they would have to get him, you know, before arbitration hits, or that that's something they have to. But it makes sense. You know, the guy doesn't have his full rookie contract worth of service time. Now, here's maybe the most interesting name on this list. Dalek Bohm, $7.7 million. Perhaps, you know, there's a real mental thing going on with Bohm that I think a lot of people have touched on a number of times during the offseason, which is that this guy bit hot and cold emotionally. Like, he just is. He, you know, one day he's saying, I effing hate it here. The next day he's saying, you know, I love this place. Thought he handled that well. You know, his dating life went public in the year 2024. He's spiking his helmet, things like that. He's a little all over the place. And he's the type of guy who you worry about mentally could spiral. Like, he's the guy who you worry could things really go off the rails here if things start slow for him or for this team. You know, if Bohm is not, this team needs Alec Bohm. This team need, you know, you're already not getting a ton on the defensive side, though I believe he's improved on the defensive end. But the offensive side, he's got to be a guy not hitting for a ton of power. He's a guy who, you know, needs to put the ball in play more. I every time I tweet out that, every time Alec Bohm homers, I tweet out Alec Bohm swing more beautiful than a California sunset, because I think he's just got such a sweet, smooth stroke. A lot of people, I know the comparison to Jason Wirth was popular once upon a time. And, you know, that's kind of just who he was. Long legs, you know, people going goo goo gaga over his little eyes routine before the game. And he, you know, he just lock in, hit gap to gap, doubles type of hitter. And remember, he was like, you know, he was an all-star. Like, this guy is an all-star. And he got there by hitting, like, tons of doubles. And, you know, you look at his 2024... his numbers, plays 143 games. He had 44 doubles when all was said and done, but I mean, it felt like, you know, 3/4 of those were in the first half of the year. I mean, he was really driving the ball well, top hand over the ball, that kind of thing. And he really struggled late in the year. The fact that he didn't get to 100 RBIs, he's now finished with 97 RBIs in back-to-back seasons, which I guess you could say, talk about consistency, but thought for sure he would get to 100. I mean, it kind of just shows how stark he dropped off. I don't have in front of me what his number was at the All-Star break per se, but the fact that he, you know, doesn't walk nearly enough. He walked 40 times this year, 42 times the year before, strikes out twice as much as that. He's slow. Like, you really need to get more out of Alec Bohm, and I hope that giving him you know, $7.75 million here signifies, like, listen, we know your name was attached in trade rumors. We know that you, you know, obviously have had a love-hate relationship with, I don't even know if it's the fans or the city, but just, like, himself. Like, it's there's pressure playing for the Phillies. It's a bit of a head case sometimes. So you worry about that kind of thing with a guy like him. So I don't look at the number so much with a guy like him. I look at more what the mental effect will be. What I look at with the overall summation of Alec Bohm's career is going to be, because it's going to be a make or break year for him with the Phillies, and I certainly hope that he can be, you know, an everyday third baseman that we are proud of here with the Phils. And the last thing, you know, the last guy here is Rainer Suarez. Now, interesting thing about him, so he signs for $8.8 million, which, you know, if anyone, you know, just like went into a coma at the All-Star break and didn't know how he finished the season, or really like after June, maybe early July, you would think that this is the world's biggest steal. $8.8 million for Rainer Suarez, you'd be like, why isn't this guy getting, you know, $15 million? He was a Cy Young candidate. He really fell off, unfortunately. He finished still with a 3.46 ERA, 150 innings pitched. He was not the same guy in the second half of the year. 1-2 whip. I still have really high hopes for Rainer Suarez. I think he is so cool to watch pitch, so calm, cool, and collected, so even-keeled when it comes to just how he handles himself on the mound. Again, he's now one of three lefties in this Phillies rotation, so he's in the majority. excuse me, in that case. Looking forward to watching Suarez pitch, looking forward to seeing what he can, because this was the best year of his career, and he only took like half the season to do it, if that makes sense. So really hoping that in the year, you know, 2025, that we're seeing a much more, you know, wire-to-wire, dialed in Rainer Suarez, that we're seeing a locked in version of Rainer Suarez that we can all feel good about, that he's back, you know, maybe not in the Cy Young conversation, but among the best twos or threes in the league. Frankly, they only need him to be a four now, I guess, if you believe in Sanchez as a three, a guy who finished top 10 in Cy Young voting. So Rainer Suarez, you know, Lizardo might be my, you know, my favorite new toy to get excited for, but Suarez is probably that other guy in the rotation who I'm most excited to, most intrigued, maybe not excited, intrigued to watch pitch in the year 2025. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Stay tuned next week and throughout this entire offseason for more episodes. My counterparts, you know, Justin Morgenstein, Francisco Rojas, Kyle Forsini as well. They are all putting out great content each and every day as we get through this offseason together. It is a not as long as like a football offseason, but it's a long offseason. It's a cold winter, but they will be down in Clearwater before you know it, just about a month, again, until that truck leaves. And I might have to start a countdown to truck day here on the Phillies Today podcast, because who else is giving you a countdown to truck day? So looking forward to that, certainly. Once again, that's going to do it. My name has been Dan Wilson. Until next time, this has been the January 10th edition of the Phillies Today podcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.